It is really good to see all of you here this evening. Sitting on the front row, you never know until you get up here who has came in. I just now saw that Christy was back there. So it's good to have her with us tonight as well. I have been, I don't know if you could tell this morning, kind of battling allergies and sinus problems all day long, and it got worse. Took some medicine, and hopefully I won't be any goofier than I normally am. I was going to say I wouldn't be goofy, but I know Dean would have said something. So we may have not a very long lesson, but one, hopefully that will cause us to focus our hearts and minds on why we are here, because that's what this particular psalm is all about, Psalms 122. Hopefully you had a chance to read that this afternoon, but if you didn't, we're going to read that in a few moments. It's a great, great psalm. It's a beautiful psalm of old that touches upon one of our greatest and deepest needs, and that is to worship Jehovah God. It's a short psalm, but one that emphasizes the motivation behind why we're here tonight. And there is a reason why we are here, why we gather, why we have the lights on tonight, why we have a Sunday morning worship, why we have a Sunday evening worship, why we meet on Wednesday evening as well. All of these focus on this need we have as a worshiping people. Psalms 122 is in a section of Scripture from Psalms 120 to Psalms 134. And this particular part of Scripture, if you have maybe a reference Bible or a study Bible, you'll notice under all of these Psalms from 120 to 134, underneath it says, a song of ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S, talking about ascending. Bible students seem to think that this phrase was put here many years ago because it was a description of those songs that the traveling Israelites would sing as they left their home, wherever that would be, and traveled to Jerusalem during those three great feast times of the year. Remember that all the adult males were required to go three times a year to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple of the Lord, to worship, to offer sacrifices and so forth. And so as these pilgrims would be walking, traveling from their towns toward Jerusalem, they'd be ascending, going up to Jerusalem, and these would be some of the songs that they would be singing, such as Psalms 122. And so it was a reminder to them why they were going to Jerusalem. They were going to worship the great I Am, the Yahweh we talked about last week. And so these songs were ones that came naturally to them. Even though they were inspired, these were the ones that they would sing to help them on their journey. Some, of course, went many, many miles. It would take them many days to get there. And, of course, they did this three times a year. To help us think about this, I'd like for us to, first of all, read Psalms 42, verse 4, because it seems to allude to these trips that they would take during the course of the year. Notice Psalms 42, verse 4. This is the beginning psalm in what's sometimes called book number 2 of Psalms. These psalms are divided into various books, or they were many years ago. In Psalms 42, verse 4, it says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. And remember, they would go up to Jerusalem for these feast times, for these feast days. And also, the prophet Isaiah alludes to this in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 29. When he says this, says, you shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept. And gladness of heart is when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And so both of those references tell us about these great trips the Israelites would make three times a year to their great city to worship Jehovah. And so our psalm tonight then is one of those songs of ascent that they would apparently sing as they traveled to Jerusalem. And this psalm makes so much more sense and means so much more when we think about these words being sang as they would be walking toward Jerusalem to that great temple, the house of the Lord. It naturally divides itself into three sections. The first two verses talk about the joy of worshiping. Psalms 122, verses 1 and 2. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Here we have maybe the motivation, the emotions that the psalmist has while writing this. He says, I was glad when they said to me. I experienced joy. I was happy when they said to me, it's time to go to the house of the Lord. These people looked with great anticipation to going to Jerusalem those three times of the year. While they worshipped other times, those three feasts were of great importance to them. And so they would look forward to them every year. And they would anticipate, you know, they would get ready just like we anticipate going on a trip, going on vacation, and we look forward to it and we plan and we pack and we prepare. That's what these Israelites would do as they would prepare for these feast times like Passover, Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. That's what they would do. And so the psalmist, when those days are approaching, his heart just fills with gladness and fills with joy because he knows that this great special time is coming up. That's how we feel about vacations often, isn't it? Oh, we plan and we prepare and oh, we just can't wait to get away to go to wherever it is we're going. That's what the Israelites felt when they were headed to Jerusalem to worship. And that's what his thoughts are about. Going there, worshiping, singing, offering the sacrifices that they would offer, being reminded of Jehovah and all that He's done for them, being in the temple area, hearing God's Word read as they would do during these great feast times. That's what meant so much to him. See, his priorities were just exactly where they needed to be. And so as we bring ourselves 3,000 years into the future from that time, 4,000 years, do we have the same feeling about worshiping? Yes, we come every Sunday. We have a special day out of the seven where God has desired His people to meet as His people, to offer up a very specific worship, to sacrifice. We do sacrifice. We sacrifice this morning. You know, the Hebrew writer talks about offering the sacrifice of our lips, the fruit of our lips. It's a sacrifice. And so we do that this morning. We've done that tonight as well. We're doing that now. We are worshiping. Because just like those Israelites would anticipate hearing the word read publicly, that's much what we're doing right now. And they yearned for that and longed for it, anticipated it, could not wait to be able to do that during those great times. Does that in any way describe us, or are we just the opposite? Think, boy, I can't wait to get there so I can get home. Or, oh no, do I have to put up with another one of those lessons? Didn't we hear one this morning? Now, these people would walk for miles and miles just to worship, just to be able to sacrifice, just to be with fellow Israelites during these times. And they would truly have to sacrifice to be there. You know, how do we feel about singing hymns? We're going to sing some hymns later in this service. We're going to sing some over at the nursing home later. How do we feel about those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? How do we feel about those? What do they mean to us? If we were to walk to Springfield, and we would be starting tomorrow, I don't know how many days it would take us. I don't know that I'd ever make it. That's a long ways to walk, but and you kind of feel like you're ascending when you go to Springfield. What psalms would I pick out of our book here to sing as we walked up there? Which particular ones would I want to be singing? I think it's something to think about. And how eager would I be to get there? If I was going there to worship, how eager would I be to get there? How much would I yearn to be with people who want to worship? You know, there's a lot of reasons for being here. There's a lot of blessings about being here. One thing, it reminds us of Christ's tremendous sacrifice, especially when we partake of the Lord's Supper, but that's not the only time we should be reminded of Christ's tremendous sacrifice. It strengthens us. When I see you here, I'm a little bit stronger. Now, if there were only five of us here tonight, that would be fine, but I'm a little bit stronger because there's more than five. And that's an important point, one that we should not, you know, put at the bottom of the list. That's an important point. It should calm us because we can shut out the cares of the world. That's one thing the Israelites did when they went to these three great feast times. They were able to shut out the rest of the world because during those times they were focused on Jehovah, on the temple of the Lord, on worshiping Him in a very special way. And so they shut that out. And so we are to do that as well. We need to shut out the cares of the world. Let's go on to the next section in this great psalm. The next three verses. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. While the two first verses seem to focus on the joy of worship, here it talks about the greatness of worship, because worshiping is a great act, unlike anything else. And not everything we do in the world is worship. Worship is something special and significant. It's something that we plan and prepare to do. We don't accidentally worship. It's something that I have to set my mind on to do and do properly, and to do in a way that's in spirit and in truth, to do in a way that's acceptable to God. It's something I have to plan. Just like Abraham told the people who was with him, the boy and I are going to go up on that mountain to worship. That was something they were going to do. That was a purposeful act they were going to engage in, was worship, and it was a great thing. Well, to the Jew, to the Israelites, going here to the city of Jerusalem was the center of their religion. Now, their religion was admittedly different than ours, but many of the principles are exactly the same. We don't have a building that represented the presence of God like they did. But yet, when we come here, the Bible tells us when we come together and assemble as God's people to worship, that He is with us in a special way. So He is here. So when we worship, it does represent the presence of God because He is here. He is. And He's with us. And that's something I think we need to think about. Notice when the Jewish people says Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. That's an interesting phrase because here it represents the unity and the closeness, being compact, of God's people. Now just imagine all the people, all these Israelites from all over would come from miles and miles from all different directions during these three times and meet in Jerusalem from all over. He talks about all the tribes meeting there in verse 4. They would all come there and there would be this great gathering, this great fellowship, this great time of worship that they didn't have any other time. This was very special to them. And so they were all close-knit and unified. They were with each other and they could experience each other. They could talk to each other about what was happening back home, how things were going. And all of these things they could do during these feasts throughout the year. So no wonder they looked forward to it. They loved it. Because when they were there, they were all together. It was like a great homecoming for them, a great reunion for them, these feast times, and they appreciated it. Well, the city of Jerusalem was itself compacted. It was surrounded by three valleys, so we have Jerusalem kind of here, and then the three valleys around it, and it's so like they would, you'd be traveling through the valleys and going up to the city, a city that is set on a hill, and there they would worship because there's where the great temple of God was. While they were here, they knew they were very distinct from all the nations around them, as they were supposed to be. And so while we're here tonight or this morning or wherever you might have been, one thing God's people represent when we're here is our distinctiveness. A lot of places don't worship every week. A lot of places, certainly a lot of faiths don't worship any other time than on Sunday. Some don't even worship on Sunday at all. Some change the day to other days. And so by being here on Sunday morning and worshiping just like God desires of us, it shows that distinctive nature. Just like the Israelites showed their distinctiveness by going to those three great feasts and being unified and being together and dwelling together and worshiping together, singing together. It showed how close they were. And so that pilgrimage, those pilgrimages, three of them, they went to Passover, they went to Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So those three times during the year, that fellowship and unity was kind of reconfirmed. Yes, we are one. Yes, we are together. Yes, we worship the same God. And they did that during those times. And don't you know how much better off they were when they left? They had renewed friendships. They had renewed fellowship. They had had these great opportunities to worship. And so they left a better people. And worship is supposed to make us better. We're to be better people in some way when we leave than when we got here. We're to be better in some way. Closer. So our worship here tonight and today does the same thing. Worshiping, hearing God's word, singing, all of those things reconfirms our faith that we're united, that we're at peace, that we're close, that we have a great fellowship with each other and with Jehovah. And so it reinforces who we are and why we are here, just like the Israelites did. And notice when it talks about in verse 5, for thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Remember that the Messiah came through the lineage of David. And that there was a king on that throne for many, many years. And he reigned there under God's authority. Our worship is under God's authority today too. I have no right to change anything in worship. In other words, I have no right, nor do you, to change the day in which we worship. I can't change it to Saturday or Monday or Tuesday or anything else. I have no right to do that. I have no right to change the Lord's Supper. It's not my supper. It doesn't say Bobby's Supper on the front of it. It's the Lord's Supper. He's the only one that had the power to make it what it is. I have none. I have no authority or power to change our worship, how we sing, or anything like that. How we contribute. None of those things. So it's God's choice, not mine. And lastly, we've looked at the joy of worship, the greatness of worship, and now we see the peace that comes from worship. Verses 6 through 9. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. As these Israelites were traveling to Jerusalem, they wanted to express how important they thought peace was for the city and peace was for each other. And so they prayed for peace. They prayed for prosperity. They wanted peace among God's people. They wanted peace there in Jerusalem. They wanted peace within the walls of Jerusalem, within the walls of the temple. You know, the Bible is very specific in, because today it says that peace is only found within the walls of the church. You realize there is no real biblical peace outside the walls of the church. And I'm not talking about these walls. I'm talking about the walls of the body of Christ. Outside that body, there is no real peace. Jesus even told his disciples, remember John 16:33, toward the end of that time in the upper room when he had instituted the Lord's Supper. He says, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but what? Don't worry about that. In me you're going to have peace. In me. In Christ. That's where peace is. Nowhere else. And so today, when we pray for peace and prosperity, we can't pray for someone to have peace outside the body of Christ. That would be praying against the will of God. We do need to pray for the church, both in the local sense and the universal sense. Hopefully that's in your prayers every day anyway. That you're praying for the church here at Granby as well as the church all over the world. Praying that it will have peace and unity, that it will grow, that it will have greater influence in the world for good. All of those things. We need to be praying for all of those things for real, lasting peace. Sometimes, and we've already mentioned how when we come here, this should be one of the most peaceful places ever. And it is here, I think. It is for me, anyway. But in a lot of congregations, that's not true. A lot of times, when we go to worship somewhere, there's not much peace there because there's too much conflict between members in the body of Christ. And when that is the case, then you're certainly not going to have peace because you're not at peace with each other. That certainly happens in many, many places that we're not at peace. And that's something that all need to work on, obviously. He ends up there in verse 9 by saying, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And that should be a prayer on our lips. We certainly desire God to seek good for us, and we should always seek good for one another. So as we're between the times when we meet, we need to pray for each other, pray for each other's good, pray for each other's peace. Pray that the congregation will have peace. Pray that our worship will be acceptable to God. And that when we anticipate coming to worship, when we prepare for worship, that we have the right motivation, that we really want to come and be with one another, and that will make a difference in the congregation here and make a difference in us, in our lives. We will be better people as a result of our worship, because that's the way it's supposed to be, just like those Israelites of old. They longed for, yearned for, and anticipated those great times of worship, and so should we. So do we have peace? Do you have peace with God and one another? The Bible says it's found in Christ, only in Christ. By coming to Him in faith and repenting, making that tremendous change, then making that great confession before men and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible tells us that point, we come in contact with the blood of Christ. We're baptized into Christ. We become a part of the body of Christ. And then we can experience real peace. If you've not experienced that, or if you need the prayers of the congregation in some other way, I would encourage you to consider what you need to do. And if you need to respond, I would ask you to do so as we stand and sing this song.